Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. And this verse, one verse, will be plenty for us today. Revelation 14, 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you holding us fast is the basis for our security and assurance in you. And also, Lord, the fruit that flows from us by your grace in our hearts. And we see it manifest in times of trouble, even the harshest and hardest. And so your grace shines through us in those times, as we see in Revelation. Well, may we appreciate that, because it's a truth lost to many of our Southern Baptist brethren. And I pray, Lord, we can reclaim it to some degree this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How is it possible for a character in a TV show that may be going on for seasons and seasons, and then there comes a season, and in the last episode, one of the stars of the TV show dies. And there is such an outpouring of anger. Why did you do that? Because people believe, truthfully, that they did it on purpose. Maybe he wants it out of the contract. He was hard to work with. Maybe he wants to go on to something else. But the next season rolls around, and who shows up? The dead guy. How is it possible? And it happened to Mr. Spock in a movie. He died. The next movie, guess who's back? Yep. How does it happen? To go back to the same person and the same role as you had before. How is it possible? Because they really didn't die. It was a pretend death. It was written into the script. And if you're going to be a miracle worker, by the way, or a faith healer, the best way to raise a dead person is to make sure they're not dead. And the best way to heal a sick person is to make sure they're not sick. Then you can do something. But the character didn't really die. Therefore, he can come back and be the same person in the role he was before. How can people then come to Christ and be in the same role as they were before they came to Christ? Maybe after a little bit of a delay, after a few weeks or months of doing some different things, coming to church more and stuff. How can they then, after making a profession of faith in Christ, go back to that old role? It's the same answer, because they didn't die. It was a pretend death. Jesus said, in calling disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. That means you turn against yourself, you die to yourself, and you follow Christ. Without that, you can't be his disciple. John, 1 John chapter 2, John was noting that there were people who were not part of them anymore. They went away. It's 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out, so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. You see, but, you know, Christians stay. And the others left. They say a possum pretends to be dead when under attack and lets off a foul odor. So that if you're after the possum, it helps you to change your mind about eating the possum. And after a while, the possum revives and goes on his way. So, you know, we have to ask the question in today's church, how many possums are playing dead? And later on, they'll get up and go back to their lives. Verse 12 mentions the perseverance of the saints. Perseverance is something that is needed to overcome. If you're to be an overcomer, you've got to persevere. If you've got to do anything that you've got to do, you've got to persevere. If you've got to clean the gutters out on your house, you've got to persevere. Going to work, getting up on Monday morning, going off, you've got to persevere. Through traffic, in lines, all sorts of things. It means endurance, fortitude, steadfastness. It's a firm word. It's a word that describes you as anchored. Without it, you live by your feelings. If you go and you don't know how to get somewhere, but you know the general direction it is, and you start off that way, and you come to the first intersection, and you go by your feelings as to what feels the best way to turn, do you think you'll get to where you're going? Not ever. I've heard of people dressing themselves, some charismatics or Pentecostals, dress themselves in the morning, and each article of clothing they have, they would ask the Holy Spirit to confirm to them whether or not this is the one they should wear. So they go out with different colored socks, things that don't match. That's that kind of thing. Going by feelings, you're not dependable. And the Bible says that you are like you're tossed about by every wave and wind of doctrine. It means you're ever changing. You can't ever know that you're going to be solid like you were before. Without it, you can't stay on solid ground. You're flighty. You can't land. Perseverance is a word that puts us on a foundation. And it says here in verse 12 that all believers, perseverance of the saints, this is a characteristic of believers. There are not some believers who persevere and others don't have that. That is not true. Those who fall back into their old lifestyle with no discernible difference in their lives after they claim to have done business with God, they're not lacking perseverance as such. That is a lack of salvation. Those who love the praise of men more than the praise of God, who are not willing to pay the price to remain loyal to Christ, that is a characteristic of sinners. Sinners persevere in sin. And there are many people, and you know a lot of them probably, and I think the majority of membership in Southern Baptist churches, and probably churches everywhere, are filled, the membership lists are filled with people who came, did something, revival, something else, and then after that you never saw them. And they're not going to any other church, and they're not walking with God, and so what happened to them? Well, they didn't persevere. Perseverance is of the saints. Perseverance of the saints. You're a saint by grace of God in Christ. When you believe, you become a saint by the righteousness of Christ. It's not your sainthood. It's Christ making you holy by his blood and his work of redemption. In Revelation, the pressure to not persevere comes from the Antichrist, from the world system, from the false prophet. And we've seen that, if you look back to chapter 13 of Revelation, verse 7, speaking of the Antichrist, the first beast, it was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and language and nation was given to him. He was given the ability, the power, to make war with the saints and overcome them. That word overcome, again, that is a word on the positive side, which those who persevere in Christ do. We overcome. Jesus said, you know, for those who overcome, I will do this. He's doing the opposite. The devil wants to take us off of our perseverance, take us away from our faith, get us to go back to the way we used to be. He says things like, you've gotten this straightened out now. You went forward in church. You said a prayer. That's all settled. Now go back and live the way you used to live, and you're safe for heaven. Now go on. Does that sound like the Lord would say that? He demanded allegiance to him in the coming time of that we see in Revelation. He demands allegiance to him and to receive a mark on your flesh, forehead or hand, that says you are of the Antichrist followers. 14 that we just went through, verse 9, just above where we are. Another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. And right after that is our text. Here is the perseverance of the saints. There's the pressure. Get the mark. You can't eat without the mark. You can't work without the mark. Your children will die without the mark. You will die. You'll suffer without the mark. And so what does the world do? Well, it says they all got it. He made the whole world get it. And they did. But not believers. Because why? Because they persevered in their faith with Christ. They all received it. That was said in chapter 13, verse 8. He says, do it. Verse 13, chapter 13, 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb, book of the life of the Lamb who has been slain. Everybody is not saved, they'll take it. But here is the perseverance of the saints. All these things that people are willing to sell their soul to the devil for, to get a moment of pleasure and happiness here, and to be able to eat and have a job in that time. Give it all up, but not the saints. They refuse. That is the perseverance of the saints. It is easy to look at it now. It's not here yet, this part. But it is getting harder and harder as a Christian. A court in the UK, I think it was this past week, made a ruling that is inhuman to say there are only two genders. That's not even, they're not even crazy anymore. We are. Inhuman, unkind, cruel to say that. That's where we're getting. And will you conform to the world's standards on that? A Christian cannot fully and finally fall from grace. I think I put this in your outline. This is from the Westminster Catechism. They whom God hath accepted as beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. There are people who believe you can lose your salvation, which would mean that you never had eternal life and that you did perish. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. But there are a lot of people in, you know, a lot of churches. No, you can have eternal life, but you can lose it. How is it eternal then? This is a bottomless cup of coffee, but it stops at 2. It's not bottomless then, is it? All you can eat, well, you've had enough. What? You can't have eternal life and then lose it. You can't have a promise that you will never perish and then perish. I'll talk about more why they say that. Jesus said, all the Father has given me will come to me. John 6:37. He will not lose anything. They will all be with Jesus. That's the Bible teaching. So, what is eternal security? I pointed out what this scripture here says, the perseverance of the saints. And the perseverance of the saints is that if you've been born again, you've been changed by God, you've been regenerated, you've got a new heart, that it is your nature then to live out in true obedience and faith in Christ your life and never fully and fall away. You can stumble, sure. You're not perfect. But you'll never fully and finally fall away from the Lord. You'll never depart. You'll never forsake. You'll never abandon your faith if you truly are saved. And there are two parts to that. There's the character part and there's the security part. The character part means you are of the nature by the new birth to live a certain way. And with the new birth, you will live faithful to the Lord and never fully and finally fall away. The other part is security. The saints, perseverance of the saints, means that you will end up in heaven. God will persevere and bring you to heaven. God will guarantee your eternal destiny. So there's those two aspects. We are eternally secure and we are eternally changed. Eternal security is what I've always heard in the Baptist church from my growing up in North Carolina. And I do believe in eternal security. But if you'll notice, if there are two parts to perseverance of the saints, character and security, eternal security is one part. Security. Eternal security doesn't say anything about the other part, character. And somewhere among Baptists, at least, someone took out a knife one day and they divided that doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, which includes the character of a Christian and the security that comes from that, to be faithful to death and to have eternal life. And they made that into two parts. And then they threw the one part away and they kept the other one. And the part they kept, we call eternal security. And again, it's not against eternal security if you keep them together. But somebody took it apart. You'll go, last time I went to the beach, Myrtle Beach, driving along that, I think it's 378. There's a lot of free will Baptist churches. Free will Baptist church would naturally say that you have an opportunity to lose your salvation. You have it's an Arminian belief that your will is free instead of bound. And you can do with your will what you want. You can choose Christ with it. You can deny Christ with it. So, the will of man, security was changed. And eternal security now stands alone without reference to the quality of their dedication to God. You never hear it in Baptist churches now. It's just you're eternally secure. And they tie it to nothing else. If you are saved, you are eternally secure. But that's the rub. Because it's not attached to being saved. It's not attached to persevering. It's not attached to being a different person. It's true, but not by itself. Remember the sower in the soil? Some seed sprung up, looked good, but it fell away. That's the lack of perseverance. Those were not saved. So if perseverance is not the source of security, what is? If you can't connect them together, and there's no reason to separate them, but except you don't like the perseverance part, what is the source of your security? In Revelation, if you overcome, it is connected to your faith, which perseveres. Chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. That's why they overcame. Because they had true salvation, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. They were given a true testimony. They were not pretending to be dead. They were dead. And therefore, they did not love their life even when faced with death. And they persevered. That is the biblical foundation. How do you know someone is saved without that, without perseverance? If a person comes and prays a prayer, comes forward in church, wants to be a member, whatever, gets baptized, how do you know they're really a Christian if they don't have any perseverance in the faith? Do you know how you know? You don't. You're aware of people who are falling away, aren't you? Some used to go to church for a little while. They seemed like they were believers. They're not now. They don't do that anymore. Are you sure about them? When you look at them and you used to see them a different way, do you look at them now and you say, I'm sure. I know he raised his hand back in vacation Bible school one day. I know he's saved. You can't say it. Because he made a decision? A decision? That doesn't save you. Baptism? That doesn't save you. Church membership? That doesn't save you. Oh, I know how I'm saved. I got a family Bible. In the front of it, it says, I was saved on this day. And it's written right there in the front of the Bible. Glory to God. Who wrote that? Not Jesus. That would be how you'd be secure. People have all kinds of other ways to rationalize and separate security from a changed life. And the Bible doesn't do it. We only know by fruit. Not by our words or our profession. Just saying it. We have a term today in churches. All churches know of it. Inactive member. You got the people who are active, say 20 or 30 or 40. And then you got your inactive membership who only show up when there's trouble in the church. 400, 500, 600. The vast majority of churches believe that inactive members who don't do anything anywhere else, they just are gone, that they're Christians and they can come back and vote or something. How many got on the church roll? We got 600. How many did you have on Sunday? 3. So how many's in your church? 600. What goes on the books? 600. What do you report to the association? 600. Their inactive members is another name for unbelievers. An active member who's not part of Christ is an unbeliever. An active unbeliever, not an active Christian. Some want to say you can't attach security to fruit because that violates salvation by grace. If we went through everything that people said that was dumb, we'd be here all year. But there are people who say that you can't have fruit, no matter what the Bible says, because that would be tainting grace. I bet if they took their car in to get fixed, and it was not fixed, and they called up and said, my car's not fixed. And the mechanic said, well, you know, you ought to give it some time. It might start working later. But for now, you owe me the bill, whether it works or not. Nobody would do that, including these people. No, you got a bad fix. You got a fix in name only. There's no fruit to prove you even worked on it. If a person comes to Christ and there's no evidence that he's even fixed, you don't say, well, he might become a disciple someday. He's going to heaven. We just hope he gives his life to Christ in another one. That's a folly. The things people make up to pad the books or something. Well, finally, faith or works. This is a classic question in theology. Faith or works. We know that salvation is by faith and not by works. But we see here in verse 12 of our text, here's the perseverance of the saints. Not that they say without fruit, who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. How do you know they're saved? They keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. That is fruit. Are they doing that to be saved or to stay saved? No, they're doing it because they are saved. That's what a saint does. So how do you explain those who don't persevere? How do you explain when a person begins and acts like a Christian and falls away? I heard somebody say one time that Elvis was a Christian because of the way he sang, "There will be peace in the valley." You couldn't sing a song as good as he sung that without being a Christian. It says it right in the Bible there, sing peace in the valley, and you're in, buddy. Elvis was with his live-in girlfriend the night he died. Somehow he lost that when he got out of the valley. What do you say to people? Many, because of a faulty view of grace, place too much emphasis on human will in this regard. They believe man starts it. They believe man can end it. They believe the will is powerful to begin salvation. So that when they pray, the power of God is in that prayer and they are saved. And then they believe that if they remove themselves from it, then they have the power to lose it. So they put emphasis on man's will at the beginning. And he can, at the end, stop it. And they say, if you believe in eternal security, you're making for sloppy Christians because you're not giving them any motivation to be good. You say they're saved, and then let them go. And you know they're right. They're absolutely right. If all you got is someone who makes a profession and doesn't live like they are Christian, you're making for a sloppy Christian, but they're not a Christian. The only answer is that in them is that you can lose your salvation. Look at all these people. They can't be saved. Many Baptists also have a faulty view of grace by putting too much emphasis on human will, but it's a different way. Many Baptists stress the profession of faith with no fruit at all from it. Whereas Free Will Baptists and others put stress on the beginning and the end, Baptists stress the beginning only. Unless you're Reformed Baptist, we are. They just say the beginning is all that matters. They pray, that's all that matters. Others say, no, they've got to hold it up to the end and be saved. They're wrong too, because